So you can take your Bibles tonight, and you can go to Proverbs chapter 18. We're going to start in verse 21. And tonight I'm going to be sharing on the power of words. The power of words. And Proverbs 18:21, it says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And they that love it, that love that power, shall eat the fruit thereof." So that means that those who take it seriously will reap the fruit of whatever it is, whether it's death or it's life. And we want to know, what kind of power do our words hold? Because they hold either the power of life or death, right? Words contain great power. And God is very careful about the words that He uses, right? God is very careful about the words He chooses. He has a purpose to everything, where He says it, why He says it, how He says it, and to whom He says it. So we're going to take a look at Genesis chapter 1, verse 3. Genesis 1, 3. God's words are so powerful that words are how the universe came into being. In Genesis 1, verse 3, it says, "And God what? Said." Well, what do we say? We say words. God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Verse 6. "And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters." In verse 9, "And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear, and it was so." Verse 11, "And God said, let the earth bring forth grass and herb yielding seed, and fruit tree, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so." Verse 14, "And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years." And verse 20, "And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creatures that have life, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven." And it goes on. But in each one of these cases, it was God's word that spoke these things into being. There's tremendous power in God's word. The universe exists because God spoke it into existence. And now, out of all that God created on this earth, we humans are the only ones who communicate via spoken words. Like, animals have sounds and grunts and things that they do, but language is unique to human beings, right? That's why God's word instructs us about the power that we have in these words. Go to Proverbs 12, 18. Proverbs 12, 18. So out of all God's creations, we're the only ones who wield this power. In Proverbs 12:18, it says, "There is that," meaning there is one who, "speaketh like the piercings of a sword." So there's, on the one hand, there are people who, when they talk, it's like being pierced through with a sword. Their words are not kind. Their words are damaging or hurtful. But, it says, the tongue of the wise is what? Health. So what you speak can pierce like a sword. It can hurt and harm and damage. But wise words can be healing. They can be soothing. They can be comforting. Right? both of those come from the same human being, right? The same species. But what we choose to use our words can be either really positive or really negative. Go to chapter 16, verse 24. Proverbs 16:24 says that pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones, right? Pleasant words, gracious words are a delight. They're sweet to the soul. They really take care of a person's heart. And it can be healing, literally healing, to people's physical bodies. Right, when the right words are spoken to them, when they're encouraged, when they're given good news, when the word is shared with them, right? The words can be healing. There's great power in words. Go to Ephesians 4:29. And God has specifically instructed us in this administration on what we're to do with words. Ephesians 4, verse 29. These church epistles are addressed to us in this administration. Ephesians 4:29 says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers." And the word corrupt there is rotten or foul. And in the Greek, it was most commonly used to describe vegetables that had spoiled, fruits and vegetables, right? So the illustration that God is using with that word is like, you know, words that are like rotten and foul, like fruit that's gone bad or vegetables that have spoiled, right? That's what the kind of communication that he's talking about here. We're not to have our words be like that. Instead, there's to be used to the use of or to the need or the occasion of edifying, right? Our words should build each other up. Our words should take care of each other, that it may minister grace or favor to those who hear it. When people hear your words, they should feel like you care about them. It ministers grace to them, that you have favor towards them, and it should edify them. Go to Colossians chapter 4. Those are the kind of words that Proverbs was describing as like a honeycomb, right? That they're sweet words, that they care. They show you care. Colossians 4, verse 6. It says, "Let your speech be always with grace." Again, demonstrating favor in what you say. "Seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man." And as we know in the lands and times of the Bible, salt would signify honesty, integrity, or a commitment, right? So the words that you speak should be truthful words. They should be words that have integrity, right? That you're committed to what you say. So our speech should be graceful, gracious, and it should be honest and full of integrity. Right? Understanding how to use your words is a godly skill that's worth sharpening. Right? "Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man." Right? One of the things that God wants us to know is how to use our words to do that, to be a help to somebody, to be gracious to somebody, right? God wants us to use those words, our words, in a skillful way to take care of people. He wants us to understand how to wield this power that he's given to us. Go to James chapter 1. And that takes practice. And that takes effort and thought. James 1:19. It says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath." So God wants us to be good listeners and to think about what we say before we say it, right? To give some thought to the words that we're choosing and what we're saying. That's what it means when it says slow to speak. Not that we don't speak, not that we're quiet all the time and we're just listeners. The slow is that we take the time to think about what we're going to say so that the words are how God wants them, right? Like honeycombs, seasoned with salt, gracious words, right? We want to hear things, we want to be apt to listen to others so that when we consider the words that we're going to say, that they're appropriate and that they're edifying and that they're a blessing. That's how God wants us to use our words. Go to Proverbs 18, verse 2. And it is a skill. It's one that takes some practice. It's one that takes some thought. There's lots of people who go through life rarely thinking about what they say. "Oh, I just say everything I feel. That's just how I am." Okay, well, that's one way you can be. But God says that we're to be careful with our words, that we're to be slow to speak. And we're not supposed to speak everything that's on our mind. We're supposed to be conscious and careful with what we say. Proverbs 18, verse 2. It says, "A fool hath no delight in understanding, but that his heart may discover itself." And that's a cool expression, right? The phrase, "that his heart may discover itself," is translated in other translations, revealing his own heart or airing their own opinions, right? A fool hath no delight in understanding and taking the time to really figure it out, but that his heart may discover itself. Right? A fool decides he doesn't want to listen to anybody else or take the time to understand anything. He just wants to air his own opinions or show how smart he thinks he is, or just kind of revealing his own feelings. And God calls that person a fool, right? That's a foolish way to be. So we don't want to just say whatever's on our mind or the first thing that comes to our head. We want to be careful with what our words are, and are they going to be a blessing, and are they going to edify? Are they going to build people up? Proverbs 21, verse 23. It says, "Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from" what? Troubles. So watching what you say can keep you out of trouble too, right? Being careful with your words is a way to keep yourself kind of out of trouble. You know, and we've all been there. We've all stuck our foot in our mouth or said something and then we'll go, "Ah, dang it," right? So it's in God's word. We've known that by experience, but God points it out that watching what you say and being careful about it will keep you out of trouble. And now most of this has been in the context of how we speak to others, right? But it's also very important that what we say to ourselves and about ourselves is also thought of carefully. Go to Psalm 1, verse 1. "Because your words do have power in what you say to other people, but also in what you say to yourself." Psalm 1:1 says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate." And that word literally means as one who talks to himself. In his law doth he meditate day and night. So the words that he speaks to himself, the words that he holds in his head, are God's words. Verse 3, and he, the person who does this, shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. So a blessed one is someone who meditates on God's word. Do our thoughts and what we say about ourselves line up with God's word? That's a question that we should always be asking ourselves and always checking back in on, right? We want to know, am I confessing God's word? Am I saying or thinking the things that line up with God's word? Because then I'll be blessed if that's true. Go to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, verse 43. Because if we tell ourselves continually something that isn't in line with God's word, then that's what we're going to begin to manifest in our lives too, right? And we know this because it says in Luke 6, 43, for a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit. Right? You got a good tree? It's not going to give you corrupt fruit. Neither does a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. The opposite's true too. If you got a corrupt tree, you're not going to get good fruit off of it. For every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs. You don't get figs from a briar bush. Nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is what? Good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is what?
Evil.
For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaks. Right? So what's in our heart, what we really think about ourselves, is what's going to come out of our mouths. And it has to be good if we want good things. And good means according to God's word. If we want good results, then it's got to line up with God's word. And if it doesn't, then we can expect not so good results. It's pretty simple. So we want our words to line up with what the Word of God says, and then we'll produce the good fruit. Go to Romans chapter 10, verse 9. So what we say in our life, what we confess on a day-to-day basis, what we repeatedly say to ourselves is ultimately what is going to come out of us. Right? When you don't want to be someone who confesses negatives all the time. You don't want to be somebody who says, well, I'm not really that kind of a person, or that's not something that I think I can do. But if the Word of God says that you can do it, then your confession should be that you can do it, right? If the Word of God says that you're more than a conqueror, then that's what your attitude should be. We shouldn't confess negatives, like, oh, they'll never listen to me, right? Well, if what you're trying to do is speak the word and give them God's word, then don't talk yourself out of it, right? And we don't want to pray double negatives. Like, that's one of those habits that I had been in, and I had to kind of retrain my brain, right? Sometimes I would pray something like, and I hope that I don't really have a tough day at work today. Well, that's a good thing. I don't want to have a tough day at work. But the don't and the tough are the double negative that makes it a good thing. So why don't I just pray that I have a great day at work today? Right? And that's just little tweaks in your brain about what are you thinking? Are you thinking you're going to have a tough day and therefore you pray that you don't? Or are you thinking, it's going to be a great day? And that's what you pray for. And that little adjustment makes a big difference, because then you start to talk to yourselves in the positives, right? And you're not thinking about the negatives. Even though you want to get rid of the negatives, you're saying that don't have a bad day, let's have a good day. Then it won't be bad. Romans 10, verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be what?
Saved.
Our salvation is based on words, right? Our confession. When we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, and we believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, then we get saved. Those are some powerful words. Those are words that are life-changing. Right? That's what our salvation is based on. Verse 10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed or disappointed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a what? Preacher. Well, what does a preacher use? Words. And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. So our salvation was predicated on the words that we spoke, and so is everyone else's, right? Our words are ones that can bring other people to Christ. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. You want to talk about powerful. You have the power to save people's lives for eternity. That's powerful. 2 Corinthians 5:18. And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given unto us the ministry of reconciliation. He's given that to us. To wit, or that is to say, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed unto us the what?
Word
of reconciliation. He's given us this ministry, and this ministry is based upon the words that we speak. They're words that can reconcile people back to God. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead be reconciled to God. So we've been given this ministry of reconciliation and the word of reconciliation to carry out that ministry. Our words have the power to lead other people to salvation, just as someone led us to salvation, right? And then their words, their confession of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and believing in their heart, will get them born again too, right? How powerful is that to save their life for all of eternity, right? And God's given us that privilege to use those words to take care of people. So our words are very powerful. God's word is the most powerful. It's how we got here. It's always true. He'll always deliver on it, but he gave us the power to use words so that we can do great things with them too, right? That we can get other people born again, that we confess what the word says about ourselves. We start to believe it, and we see great things come to pass in our lives. So we should be very careful with the words that we choose to use and how to use them so that they can be the biggest blessing to us and to other people.